Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals. Today, with just your host, Caroline. If anybody is new to the show, Girls with Goals is hosted by myself and my twin sister, Anne Catherine. But as we come into a new year and a new season of the show, we want to start doing more solo episodes and diving in separately with you guys on different things that we're passionate about and want to talk about, or different areas of our personal life that we want to share with you guys. Solo episodes are something we started doing a little bit at the end of 2024, and we loved doing them. Not only is it like kind of a different experience just talking yourself in the mic, it feels like a little bit more like a journal session than the typical conversations, debates, episodes that we do with each other, but also they were really well received by you guys, and it gives us the opportunity to connect with you guys one-on-one, have this kind of more personal experience outside of the episodes that we do with each other. So what you can expect from Girls with Goals this season is to have alternating episodes of And Catherine and I together, and then a solo episode. So last week we had an episode of the two of us together. This week, I'm chatting with you guys. Next week, we'll have another episode together. And then the following week, and Catherine will give you a solo. So every month, we'll each get the opportunity to talk to you guys one-on-one, which is super exciting. Today, I am taking the opportunity one-on-one to dive into something a little bit more personal and talk about my recent breakup, which is kind of ironic because maybe about 6 months ago, I did a solo episode about my relationship, and then we took a break from the podcast. So it's actually one of the most recent episodes, but fast forward, that relationship is over. It's been a few months, and I want to talk to you guys about that experience and the breakup experience, because it's such a crazy thing and it's so filled with emotions and confusion and anger and, you know, all of so many different conflicting emotions, I think. And I wasn't ready to talk about it right in the beginning because I thought about it and I wrote things down and I took some notes. I had been journaling a lot, but I really hadn't learned anything from it yet when I was at the very beginning and I was starting to go through it. And I think that, I mean, of course, that could have been helpful on its own just to get that raw experience and thoughts out of me, but also I didn't really have anything to share with you conclusively. And also at that point, I still was like, maybe we'll get back together and then this will be embarrassing if I posted this whole episode like freaking out over a breakup and then we get back together. Like, it felt like if I was going to make an episode about it then, I had to be solid in my decision and also be solid in how I was feeling and the emotions, and I wasn't really there yet, but I'm there now and I'm excited to talk to you about it now. If you've been following me on Instagram for a while, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that I am, as well as my sister and Catherine and her maybe even further than I am, like, I'm a very independent person and I am not somebody who has always wanted, needed, whatever it is, to be in a relationship. You know, I've dated, I've casually dated, I've had my situations, toxic or untoxic, but I have not historically actually like commit myself to a relationship. That's always been something that I really do see as a commitment and feels very serious, something I want to take seriously, and something where everything kind of would have to be right and feel right to do it. And so this relationship that I'm talking about is the first time in probably my adult life, I don't know, as 22, I guess, since, you know, calling someone your boyfriend in high school, etc., that I have actually commit to a relationship and been all in with it and been like, yeah, this is what I want to do. This is what I want in my life right now. And so to even feel that way from the get-go was pretty exciting and pretty special, because I have not had something feel so strong, so right in my life at the time that I actually wanted to commit to it and put myself in a relationship, because I have a lot of things going on in my life, and to give my time, my energy, my trust to another person, like that's kind of sacred, if you will. And it also means being vulnerable with another person and trusting another person, and that is kind of a scary thing to do in itself. So it's not really something that I have historically done. But for whatever reason, the stars aligned for me last year where that seemed right. I really felt comfortable with this person. I had a lot of fun. I trusted him like more than anybody else. I think that was a huge factor, is that I don't know if it's everyone in their 20s, but I think a lot of the men I meet, like, there can be something, and I think it's maybe a cultural thing. Maybe it's like, you know, men need to grow up, but it can be hard to trust guys in their 20s. And I think that kind of holds me back sometimes a little bit of like, they might all kind of have ulterior motives. They all might be assholes deep down. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just my experiences. But this was different. This felt like very comfortable, very safe, very trustworthy. And that isn't something that I had really felt or experienced before, or at least in a long time. And so that was really nice. That was what I needed and what I wanted at the time. And it was super exciting. It was a great relationship. It worked really well until it kind of didn't. There were a lot of things that I kind of called out, maybe not as red flags, but I was aware of since the beginning, some discrepancies in our lifestyles and maybe our compatibility, in maybe him not fully having all of the qualities that I see in a long-term partner for myself, especially when it comes to confidence. I think like that's huge for me, and to no fault of his own, that's like just not something that was super prevalent in my ex's life or personality. But especially in the beginning, there was a lot that was overriding it. There was, you know, a friendship, a connection, something that was really great and that I really valued. And so it was a lot easier to kind of like push that to the side in the beginning and be like, you know what, like also maybe things will change. Maybe people grow up, maybe they develop, maybe I can help him do that. Maybe we could do it together. You actually can't change a person, but you know, you never know. And then of course, as the relationship went on, as it became more serious, as you're kind of more embedded in each other's lives, those things come out again. And it became kind of clear to me, a few months ago, that those things that had alerted me in the beginning, they were real, they were there, and they were kind of starting to affect the relationship, or how much we were able to be compatible, or how much we were able to be on the same page. And so I started really questioning the future of our relationship and the compatibility of it. Like, not that I was never questioning him and how great of a person he was and how great of a connection we had, but I started putting a lot more weight on, you know, where we were going and the future of it and the compatibility of us. And it was hard for me to see that. I kept coming back to, well, unless he gains some confidence, organizes his life, blah, 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 this is not gonna work for me. Like, it was kind of like, I love this person, but there was a but. Like, there was always a but in my mind. And that really sucks, because how are you ever supposed to determine when something is big enough, significant enough to actually end the relationship, when one of those cons outweighs all of the pros? And I really, really struggled with that. So I brought this up, it started a conversation, and we eventually ended up breaking up. What was really hard for me is that nobody did anything wrong. There was no fighting, there was no cheating, there was no breach of trust. Like, there was nothing to pinpoint and be like, this is awful, I hate him because he did this, and I'm mad at him, and I can't believe I was ever with that person. Like, there was none of that. There was still so much, like, care for him. Like, there was none of that. It truly was just a mutual, hey, we need different things. We're at different points with ourselves and with our lives right now. And I don't want to push this to a point where then it does become a fight or it does become a bigger thing. It was kind of like an almost quit while you're ahead. Like, we talked about it a lot. We knew we were in different places and that at least right now it wasn't going to work. And so, you know, that just was what it was. Part of me thinks that it would have been a lot easier if there was a reason to be mad, because I struggled a lot with that in between of trying to figure out what is actually the right decision and what's wrong. What I learned and what I really had to remind myself and to anybody who's been in a similar boat is that even the right decision is hard. There is nothing normal about having a person go from being your number one person to completely breaking it off and not seeing each other and not speaking to each other again. Like, that is, it's a super abnormal thing. It doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't make sense to me at all. And it feels wrong. And it feels like a weird feeling to have somebody go from 100 to 0 to being the person that you spend the most of your time with, that you share the most things with, to then supposedly just being cut off forever. And you don't share things with them, and you don't spend time with them, and you don't know what's going on in their life anymore, and you aren't a part of their life anymore, and they're not a part of yours. Like, that's fucking weird. And it doesn't make sense. And I was confused. Because I was confused thinking, what is the right decision? And I was journaling a lot at this time. And one thing I wrote down with my kind of struggling with these two conflicting sides is that, you know, on one hand, I have a person who I had an instant connection with, who has made me feel like more safe and happy than anyone else ever has in a relationship. And who, like, I've really opened up to and taken the time to build a relationship with. And it's been really great. And then on the other hand, he's admittedly not at the same place with himself as I am with myself, and like admittedly has some growing to do. And I understand where he's at, and I'm sympathetic to that, and I see so much potential in him to grow into his best, but like in the moment, that's not where he's at. And I know that I deserve somebody who can match where I'm at life and like kind of be their best self to be in a relationship with me. So the place that I was in the middle felt very ambiguous, if that's the right word, where like I see two sides of this thing, and then you get conflicting advice where it's like, if you love someone, let them go, or, you know, if you love someone, you fight for it. And I'm like, okay, so what the fuck am I supposed to do? Because this could go either way right now. And I was really confused, and that was the biggest thing that was getting me, is like, I like to put things in buckets. I like to know things. I don't like the unknown, especially when it comes to my life and something that feels like it dramatically changes the direction of my life and the trajectory of my life. I'm like, I need this to be good or bad, wrong or right. And that isn't the situation with this. That isn't the situation with most breakups, because even if somebody does do something really hurtful and wrong, there's still a reason that you cared about them and were with them, and you still have all of this history. And so even if somebody does something wrong, it's hard to put an entire relationship in a bucket of like wrong, over, done, or like right, yes. You know, it's kind of this impossible thing to do. And the first lesson that I learned in the very beginning of this, probably the first few weeks to a month, through absolutely venting to some of my friends and probably exhausting them from hearing me go back and forth, and also surprisingly from my dad, he had good advice with this, is that there really is no right or wrong. Like, there is no right or wrong. You could have somebody do something wrong and still decide that the relationship is worth it and they're the right person for you. You could have somebody do absolutely nothing wrong, but still feel deep down that it's not right and that something is missing and that they're not the right person for you. Like, there is no way to determine if something is right or wrong. And there is no right or wrong, whether you stay with a person or whether you leave them, like, unless, of course, it is, you know, a very toxic or abusive situation. Like, there's no right or wrong. That just doesn't exist. And there's a lot of different paths that our lives can take. And so there is something to say about just trusting your gut and trusting that if you have that feeling, it's happening for a reason, even if you can't decide that something's right or wrong. Something else that my friend said that really helped is that multiple things can be true at the same time. You can think someone's really great and not think they're the person for you. You can be really upset that somebody did something and still love them and still want them to change. You can love someone and still decide to let them go. Nothing is exclusive. All of these things can be true at the same time. And from my experience in this breakup, that is often true. And we have to understand that multiple things can be true at the same time. And thinking about it in that way is really helpful, to say like, no, there's no right or wrong. All of these things I'm feeling are valid, because I can feel sad and confused and hurt all at the same time. But then I can also feel like, wait, I kind of want to text him. Wait, I kind of want him back. I kind of want to hang out. Like, all of these things can coexist. These feelings can all happen at the same time. And like, that's okay. And especially in the beginning, it makes sense that that's happening, because you're used to talking to this person all the time. You're used to seeing this person all the time. They're so embedded in your life. But then you're also supposed to be letting them go. You're also supposed to be low-key mad at them a little bit. You're also supposed to be, like, confused. You know, why aren't you fighting for me more? Why aren't you trying to make this work? All of these things are so fresh in the beginning, and you have so many of these conflicting feelings, and it's really helpful and helps you find a little bit of peace just to say, like, everything I'm feeling can exist and can be true at the same time, and it doesn't mean that I have to act on it right now. It doesn't mean that if I'm angry in this moment, I have to write an angry text or a call or say something horrible. And it also doesn't mean that if I'm missing a person right now that I have to go get them back right now, because your feelings can flip-flop so easily and everything feels so heated. So it can be really helpful to find some peace and just stepping back and be like, these are all my feelings and these can all be true at the same time. Multiple things can be true. It's easy for me to talk about this now and sound really calm about it and wise, but I'm absolutely telling you that I was not calm. I was very manic almost. Like, I was going back and forth every day about I'm so independent, I'm on top of the world, I'm chilling, I'm doing so well by myself, and then the next day being like, oh, I think we should try again. Yeah, I want it back. I think we should try again. And like, I was doing that to my friends as well, because I'm not good at staying quiet. I'm a vocal person. I'm like, any idea, thought, thing I have, I'm like, I need to say it, I need to write it down, I need to do something about it. And so I have a few friends who, you know, I need to thank profusely over and over for dealing with my going back and forth, from being like, yeah, guys, I'm chilling, I'm totally over this. You know, it's been 2 weeks, but I'm totally over it and I'm fine. And then the next week being like, I think that this was all a mistake, and I think that I was just stressed out, and I think that I made this all up in my head, and I think that I need to go back and apologize. And guess what? I fucking did. I went back and forth. I went back, he came back for the first few weeks. We were trying to be friends, trying to still be in touch, trying to like talk about our feelings and work it out. I don't know if that really helped, but at least it helped me in the moment not feel like a person was completely cut off. But like, I did multiple times go back and be like, hey, I know I started this conversation and I know I had these concerns, but could we figure it out? Do you think this was premature? Do you think this could have just been a conversation and not an actual breakup? I would be willing to put the effort in to figure it out. Do you think you could? But it always came back to like, no, these things were valid and they're not going to change overnight. So even if this is sad and this is hard, what's going to change if we actually got back together? But I had that conversation multiple times and I did go back on my word and I did change my mind and I did that. And that brings me to my second piece of advice, which could be kind of messy, but I do think that I'm a little bit pro messy in this situation because it helped me a bit, which is to literally exhaust the situation until you're over it. It's impossible. I guess it's not impossible. I was going to say it's impossible not to think about this in the beginning and not have a breakup in this person be overtaking your mind. However, maybe it is possible. Maybe you completely block it out, but I don't have anything to do because then it's going to come up later. For me, like, it was the thing overtaking my mind for at least a month, and it ended up literally exhausting me. Like, I have never taken more naps in my life than I did in that first month. I was just getting exhausted and taking like an afternoon nap every day. I was kind of trying to just make the days go by and make time pass because I knew that with time passing, it would feel further away and I would start to feel better, which is, you know, a little bit where I'm at now. But like, I was just trying to make it go away. But when I say exhausted until you're over it, I mean like when I was thinking, like any conflicting thought that I had, like I said, I talked to my friends, I journaled a ton, like I wrote things down, I wrote pages and pages, and one day it could be all positive and one day it could be all negative because that's how back and forth I was. But instead of actually like going and airing that out with my ex every time, it was really helpful to just write it down and get it out. But like, I had so many ups and downs, so many feelings, so many thoughts, and writing them down, speaking on them, even going back and having further conversations about where did this go wrong, could we have fixed it, is there a possibility, blah blah blah, like I exhausted all the possibilities, I exhausted the situation to a point where it became pretty certain to me that this was the right decision, because I'd kind of opened every door, I'd kind of gone down every pathway, and it kept leading me to this is ultimately, like, I know that I had a gut feeling and it was right and it was for this reason. But I pushed it to a point where I was literally exhausted about thinking about it. I was literally exhausted about talking about it, to the point where I finally was like, okay, I'm done. I'm comfortable being no contact now because I have nothing else to say. I have nothing else to get from this right now. I have no other, like, I don't even want, yeah, of course I have maybe other questions, other things that I want. Of course, this is still uncomfortable, but I'm kind of exhausted from thinking about it and I just want to move on. So I pushed myself to the point of just like literally wanting to move on and wanting to be done with it. And I think that helped me a lot. And everybody is different, but I think that's why I say, like, I'm pro being kind of messy. I'm pro being a little bit crazy because I think it helps you to fully exhaust the situation and get it.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
All out of your system so that, you know, a few months down the line, you've done that. You're tired of thinking about it. You're tired of talking about it. You're done. So advice number one, let yourself feel everything that you're feeling and know that multiple things can be true at once. And then advice number two, exhaust it until you're over it. Journal, talk to friends, go back and forth if you need to. Do all of that in the beginning so that it doesn't continue to stick with you months or years down the line. I know that is helpful for me because I also know that I've had situations before that have literally stuck with me for years because I felt like I got no questions answered, no closure, never exhausted them like that. So if it means being a little crazy in the beginning, I'm all for it. Secondly, and this is something that I knew that I should have done from the beginning, but like it took me a while to do because it almost felt mean, but I think that it is very helpful, is to make an ick list. Make a list of all of the things that were kind of red flags, were kind of icks the whole time, and just those things. The reason that I struggled so much to like make this before is because I would think of something and then like I would think of something good to cancel it out, or I would think of a justification for it. I would be like, oh, but like you can't do that. If you're trying to get over a person, at some point you need to just make a list of the negative things to continue to remind yourself why you can do better or why it's not right now, or just to like stop romanticizing the person, because that's the problem. Like if you're ending a relationship, there were things that didn't work the whole time. There were things that weren't right, but then you leave it and you're looking back and you're thinking about all the good feelings and all the good times, and you're kind of almost making the person up in your head and romanticizing them into something that wasn't totally realistic to who they were and what the relationship was. Counteract that by making an ick list of all of the negatives so that when you find yourself going crazy, idealizing it and romanticizing it, you have this list of like, no, but like, I hated this. No, but this was weird. No, but like, that is not attractive to me. Blah, 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 blah. Like, you have these things to counteract the thoughts of thinking that that person was perfect and that you should go back. It also helped me to make a list of things that I learned from this relationship in terms of like what I want in a partner, because there's a lot of things that I got from that relationship that I'm like, yeah, I loved that in a person. I need that. I want that again. And then there were also things that I thought, okay, well, this person didn't have it and that was kind of a problem. And so that's what I need from somebody else. So it helped me to feel like I was gaining something from the relationship ending to at least feel like I can take something with me to learn new things that now I know that I love and that I want and need, and also things that I knew fell short and that are going to be non-negotiables for me in the future. Actually, in the last episode for lessons that we learned in 2024, that's something that came out of that I said was sometimes when visualizing what you want, it is also helpful and maybe takes the pressure off to make a list of like things that you don't want or things that you won't accept. So if it's hard for you to write down a list of like, this is everything I want and need in a partner, because sometimes that feels so certain and sometimes you kind of want to leave a little room for flexibility, sometimes it might be easier to write things that I won't accept. Like, I will accept no less than this. Like, if somebody does this to me, immediate no. If somebody treats me this way, immediate no. If somebody does this, has this character trait, like, I know that's not for me, immediately no. So you can either learn from this in writing a list of the things that you want and need, or writing the list of things that you know you totally would not accept and would not work for you again. So tip number three, make an ick list. It's kind of a fun thing to do. Do it. You can do it when you're like romanticizing the person and feeling good about it, but I also feel like it's better to do it in a moment when you're kind of feeling angry at them, because then all those things are going to come out. Whereas if I'm thinking about it in a time where I'm idealizing the relationship or feeling sad about it, I'm going to maybe not write things down because I'm going to try to justify them, or I'm going to not want to actually admit that that was a truth. Because low-key, sometimes the things we accept are kind of embarrassing. Similarly, something that's come a bit later for me more recently is in moments where I'm feeling like my best and feeling really good, like doing a really good workout or having fun with friends, or, you know, in the office in recent work events, influencer events I've gone to, I think about how he would not have fit in there. And how sometimes all of these things that are like the peak of my day and the peak of my life are not aligned with his lifestyle, or are not a place where he would have been. The fourth thing that is so important and that helped me, and that helped me but is also what I really, really needed in the beginning, is to change my environment. Change your environment if you can. To wake up and be in the same apartment, same neighborhood, have nothing else change except for the relationship changing, also to continue to be in the same city and neighborhood as my ex, was a really weird feeling at the beginning. It was a really strange feeling of like, this person could be so accessible, but we've just cut each other off of like having places and things have memories connected to them and all of that. To also have the weird feeling that like you could have a run-in at any point, which actually never happened. A random run-in never happened, and it still hasn't, even though I'm back in Boston now in the same place. That would be really interesting. Anyways, change your environment if you can. I was dying to get out of Boston right away. I was like, I just need to find a way to pass this time. This was in October, so I was like, okay, I'm not going home until Thanksgiving in November. Once I get there, that'll be nice because it'll be Thanksgiving, and then it'll be Christmas and I'll be at home. Then it'll be New Year's. New Year's kind of feels like a fresh start. I was like just trying to fucking get myself to New Year's. And so I was texting all of my friends that lived in different places, and I was like, who can I visit? How can I get out of here? I ended up taking myself to London and a day in Paris. And I really needed that. At the time, I texted my friend Alex, one of my best friends who lives in London, and I was like, I literally need to change my environment. I need to get out of here. When can I come? She couldn't have me until early December, but I was like, you know what? Early December is going to come anyways, and I need that to look forward to. So I got through a few weeks in Boston, I went home for Thanksgiving, and then I immediately got on a plane, went to Europe, had a great week in London, hanging out with my best friend, took myself to Paris. I had never been before, and I had really wanted to see Paris this year, and that city had kind of been on my bucket list, and it was also a really fun thing to like do something for myself, create an experience for myself that this other person didn't give me, maybe couldn't have given me, that I was able to give myself. And also, just the more I think you fill your life and start creating new memories and experiences, the further away that feels. So it was really nice to like take a trip and have it feel like, you know, new things were happening for me in my own life, away from home, things that I was creating by myself. And so taking myself to Paris was like pretty bomb. Obviously, that's not always realistic. I was pretty lucky that I was able to work remotely for that week and I wasn't in classes or anything. And so I was able to do that. And also that I had a friend accessible over there that I was able to stay with. But any way that you can change your environment, get out of Dodge, go home for a bit, go visit a friend in a different city. It was nice because then I came back from Europe and it was just about time to go home for Christmas and for the holidays at home and be with my family. And then the new year came and it just helped time pass and for me to create some kind of distance and space between that. But understandably, based on your circumstances, different times of the year. Like, that's not always possible. That wasn't possible for me for the first month. I have a friend who was really struggling with a breakup years ago and asked her roommate to swap rooms with her. Even changing that micro shift in an environment really helped her, because she was feeling like, this room that I am still living in, going to sleep in every night, like, this is where so many things happened for us. She was like, this is where, you know, we first had a conversation to start dating. This is where, like, we spent so many nights. We have so many memories here. And now I'm still just here alone, going to bed, sleeping here. And it was a weird feeling being in that same environment, in that same room. So she literally asked her roommate, like, can we switch rooms? And they took a day and they literally switched their rooms and they took all of their stuff out. And even that micro shift in environment really helped her. So that's a possibility too. Maybe you can switch to a different bedroom. Maybe you can revamp your own bedroom, move your bed to a different wall, change, you know, the posters on your wall, or like change the decor, get yourself some new flowers, change the like arrangement of your room. Even just those micro shifts in environment can be really, really helpful in feeling like you're just creating space from where all those memories were held and from what was happening there. So absolutely find ways to change your environment if you can, whether that's actually leaving where you live, taking time away, spending time with different people, or it's even those micro environmental shifts just to create something. You know, it's kind of nice in these situations where you feel like you have this person who was so embedded in your life and knows so much about you. Like, it kind of is a little bit of an empowering thing to make some small changes in your life that this person doesn't know about and doesn't really get to know about because they don't have access to you anymore. The more you feel like you're building out your life separately, taking that back, making changes, the more I think it becomes exciting to be independent again and on your own again. I think whether it's trying something new, taking up a new hobby, or literally just shifting the arrangement of your room to be something different that only you get to have and only you get to experience, that's really huge. And that also moves me into my fifth point, which is to find a shit ton of ways to fill your time. At the beginning of my breakup and earlier on, like, I had this on my mind all the time. It was hard to have it not kind of embedded anything, you know, like walking down the streets, going to the gym, going to work. Like, it was just always kind of in the back of my mind. It was always there. And I was taking so many naps. Like, I was literally taking an afternoon nap so often, because when I got home from doing something in the middle of the day, when I got bored and I didn't have somewhere to be or something filling my time, like, I would just think about this and I would get sad, or I would want to journal and write something down, and I would get like just kind of drained by it, and I would want time to pass, and so I would just take a goddamn nap. It, that was like weeks. I was just like, all right, time for the afternoon nap. It's happening again. But now I'm so busy. I'm working. I'm back in classes. I'm on my fitness grind. I'm so busy. And every day, you know, I'm kind of going from one thing to the next. And not only does that distract me and keep me, you know, keep my mind on other things and doing other things, also like reading books, finding a new hobby, just finding like literally any way to fill your time and do something different and just create activity, create action. Not only is that keeping me busy, but it's also giving me moments every day of feeling independent. Like, the more that I do, like, oh, I just went and I wrote that paper by myself. Oh, I just had a great day of work and I did that by myself. Oh, I just like crushed that workout and I did that by myself. It gives you moments every day to feel independent and to feel proud of yourself and to feel like you're on your own shit the more that you're doing by yourself. So find ways to fill your time, not only to, you know, take time and space away from thinking about these things and falling into it, but also to remind yourself of your independence and what you're capable of doing on your own. So there you have it. That is what my past 3.5 months post-breakup experience has been like, and the biggest tips that I have taken out from it to translate to you guys, and the feelings. And also, like, everything we go through, everybody has their own emotional experience with it. It's not wrong if you're over something within a week. It's not wrong if you still think about something a year later. Like, we all have different experiences. For whatever reason, things affect us in different ways. I think this did affect me pretty heavily, just for the sense that it was also tied to feelings of like, did I fail at doing this? Like, why did I put myself in that situation just to end it, you know, within a year? Why did I choose this person from the beginning if I saw some of these red flags from the beginning? Like, it kind of made me question myself a little bit too. and in a sense kind of made me feel like I failed at a relationship, which was like not a fun feeling to have. And so I think that complicated the situation for me too. That made it feel a little bit heavier, made me question it more, last longer, because I also had these things tied to it of like, hey, if I've always been super independent and I've not been a relationship person, why the hell did I then do this? And then also low-key feel like I kind of failed at it, which is wrong. I know that everything happens for a reason. I know this was experience for me, but I'm just saying that because of that, I think it hit a little harder for me. And so it's okay if something hits hard for you. If something doesn't hit hard, we're all on our own life journeys and our own experiences. A couple of other random things that I can throw out there that did help me is like the trend of my husband wouldn't do this to me or my person wouldn't do this to me. If you see it, like I see that on TikTok all the time, and it's honestly so true. I've always felt like a deal breaker for me is when somebody does something to me that I couldn't comprehend doing to them or is so different than how I would have acted towards them in that situation. That's always felt like a bit of a boundary for me in my head. Like if somebody just like completely ignores my needs or my wants for something, like if I've communicated and they totally disrespect me in a way that I wouldn't do to them or couldn't even comprehend doing to them, like that's always been a big wake-up call and a big type of boundary for me. But I also really love the trend that I've been seeing all over TikTok of like, yeah, my husband wouldn't do this to me, so clearly you're not it. There are so many people that we're going to meet in our lives. There are so many people who are going to be integral to our lives and are going to teach us things and are going to make us happy that we haven't even met yet. And as much as letting somebody go in a moment feels hard, it's only creating opportunity for other greater things to come. And you really never know what the future holds, whether it is a reconnection with a person or whether it is somebody else coming in and making you feel like, oh, this is why that didn't work. Something's going to happen. It's gonna work out. And so to think about an action and be like, my person would never do that for me, like there's somebody out there who would treat me better or who would not have done that to me because I would never have done that to them, that's a statement that's pretty hard to argue with. So thinking about things that way in that sort of TikTok trend that's going around, that actually low-key helped me a lot. And then also just thinking realistically that, you know, I'm young, I'm 22, there are so many things that I want to do in my life, like, and I do not want to have been, like, personally, and I know a lot of people who are in relationships long-term, young, and it works really well, but, like, I personally don't feel like I am in a place in my life right now to meet somebody and immediately spend the rest of my life with them. Like, I have so many things life-wise, adventure-wise, career-wise that I want to do that, like, I'm not ready to meet a person that I'm going to marry and spend the rest of my life with and like meet them right now and be with them right now and continue that. So that kind of helps me to be like, okay, well, inevitably this isn't what I wanted anyways, was to start dating someone right now and then, you know, never break up with them and always be together forever from right now until forever. Like, that's scary. That's not something that I want anyways. And so that helps me to think about a lot. And then also just thinking about my past self and my future self. Like, what did the younger version of me think of when I thought of, you know, the relationships that I was going to be in and the kind of people that I was going to be in when I was older? Like, would she be excited about this? Would she be proud about this? What would my older self think, the older self that like kind of knows how the rest of my life goes? Would they be happy that I'm maybe keeping myself in a comfort zone with a person, or would they want me to, you know, take the shot and go through a little bit of this heartbreak now to find something better, to learn from it, to gain some independence? You know, probably it would be that option. So taking myself out of this exact moment right now and thinking like, well, what did I picture for myself when I was younger? And also, you know, what will my future self think of this situation when I'm through the emotions of it? And what will be better for that future version of myself as well? That's also really helpful. So there are a lot of things that have helped me, both mindset-wise and then actual tangible action-wise. But it's not an easy situation. And I wanted to come on here and talk about it because it's not, like, relationships, romantically, breakups, it's not something that we talk about too much on this show. And also, like, a legitimate breakup in this sense is not something that I have gone through since we've started the show. So it's not something that I've even been able to talk on, but I know that, you know, it's inevitably something that we all go through in our lives that we're all going to experience. And so if I can talk through my feelings about it to help you feel like, you know, you're normal for feeling a little bit crazy at the beginning, or for having so many mixed emotions, or for, you know, taking naps and feeling tired and all of that, and to know, to maybe take some lessons from it and have a few wake-up calls yourself, or just to hold on to this for the future, or even to be able to share some of this advice with a friend to help them out. Like, hopefully this helped you in some sort of way, or if nothing else, just entertained you while I spilled some of the tea on my life, because this was definitely a very personal, very exposing, very kind of spill the tea of my personal and dating life kind of episode. So I hope that if nothing else, you enjoyed it and this was entertaining to you. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you for supporting and being here. If you are not already, follow me on Instagram at Caroline Kanin. Make sure you're following the show wherever you listen, on Spotify and on Apple. And if you want to leave a rating, we super appreciate that, and that helps the show get out to other people, as well as sharing it with other people. So if you like this episode and you have a friend who you think would benefit from listening to it or would find it entertaining, definitely send this to a friend. That means the world. And Catherine will be back with me next Monday for a new episode, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.